This is Dustin Vancouver from the Nerd Effect Podcast, and you are listening to 10 years of This Week in Geek. And don't forget, stroke the Wookiee.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need.
Welcome to the Nerd News Network here on This Week in Geek. This is episode 8 of the new Nerd News Network. I'm, of course, TFGO and Mike from the Geekcast Radio Network. And joining me once again this week, holy crap, 2 weeks in a row. He's not back fully yet, folks. He still needs to get some of his functions properly fixed. But we have Mike the Birdman Dodd. Hello, sir.
That's right. Yeah, decided to sit in this week because Ryan needs a little bit of a break. So I'm going to help out one of my best friends. So, yeah, it is good to be back on this April Fool / WrestleMania 33 weekend.
Yeah.
So hopefully you guys have had a good time, watched the show such as it was, and a lot of interesting news stories to cover this week.
Oh, yeah. I think the greatest April Fool's joke that I saw yesterday or on the first was, DC cuts every Superman scene out of Justice League. Well, no shit.
See, I kind of thought that was real for about...
No, I knew. As soon as I realized it was April 1st, I knew. Because the guy's already dead. How's he going to have any damn scenes unless they do flashback?
Although, I think the greatest one I saw yesterday, and I so wish this was real, it was from IGN. They always do like a fake video game or a fake TV series or something.
Grand Theft Auto on AMC.
Grand Theft Auto. That would be so legit.
Yep.
Especially since they already have Stephen Ogg working for AMC right now. If it was just the adventures of Trevor before Grand Theft Auto 5, mm-hmm. I'd watch the shit out of that.
Yep. A bit of old business. I forgot to bring this up last week, but it's still relevant since it's not coming out till the summer. I might have brought this up last week. I don't remember if I did or not. I do so much crap, I have no idea. Shout Factory, via their imprint for Scream Factory, they are releasing new versions of Teen Wolf 1 and 2.
Cool.
Yes.
I'll probably get those for review at some point because I'm huge fan of Show Factory, Scream Factory stuff.
Yeah.
I never, you know what, I guess you don't know if there was more to add to it, but now we get the definitive versions of Teen Wolf 1 and 2.
Well, yeah, it's, yeah.
Not exactly a series that's screaming for the Criterion Edition, so to speak, but you know what, they're fun 80s movies, and Scream Factory never slacks on quality.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever they give us will be fantastic.
And I mean, really, when's the last...
I don't think I've actually had a bad Scream Factory release yet.
Yeah. And honestly, when's the last time we had, you know, a decent DVD release? Or this does not say they're coming out on Blu, so I don't think it's a Blu-ray release, but they do, it does say...
I can't imagine them not doing a Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Because it's a lower quality format. So.
Yeah. And the other thing is, this year is, and I think I know why they did this, why they announced this, because they announced this back on March 22nd. This is the 30th anniversary of the original film, so that's probably why they're doing the collector's edition, you know, quote type thing.
I just want to know, what can you really, like, collectors, I'm trying to think what you could even offer for something like that. I know when they did Bill and Ted, you got an action figure, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
What does it say in the press release?
There is really no press release to it. It was just a Facebook and Twitter status update, basically saying breaking these movies are, you know, coming back, you know, in collector's edition release form. That's really all the image. That's really the only description it says. It says no other details at this time.
Maybe if they offered like a replica miniature Letterman's jacket, maybe from his high school, maybe that might be kind of fun.
That'd be
cool. Or maybe like a family photograph or something.
Yep.
That could be kind of neat. Or, that reminds me, before we get too far into the nerd news, we've got a giveaway.
Well, I was going to save that to the end.
Oh, well, we're going
to... I'm going to make people work for it, people. I'm going to make y'all work for it.
Well, they need to know what they're playing for, but if you want to know how to enter, you got to listen to the whole thing.
That's right.
So, Logitech, the wonderful gaming peripheral maker, has offered us a Logitech G8 10 Series Orion Spectrum Mass Effect Andromeda keyboard. I have one of these keyboards. It lights up and everything. It is the coolest mechanical keyboard you'll ever own, and probably one of the last mechanical keyboards you'll ever need to own. And if you want to win one, well, you're going to have to listen to the whole episode to see what you got to do. But I promise you it'll be simple and not annoying. So keep listening, and you too can enjoy the Mass Effect Andromeda Initiative branded Mass Effect Logitech G810 Orion Series Spectrum keyboard.
Absolutely.
Well, continuing right along, because I butchered that.
Yes, yes you did. Put that knife away, you meat cleaver. All right.
Actually, I'm playing with a knife.
Wow, dude. Just wow. All right, so we got finished with the old business. Now it's time for some new business. We've got the Spider-Man Home... Actually, technically, it's the Iron Spider trailer. Because, really, half of that damn trailer was Iron Man. But anyway, I almost called it Iron Man Homecoming. Holy shit. Spider-Man Homecoming trailer talk. Okay, so you've seen the Homecoming trailer that they released.
Yep.
Okay.
What's up, guys?
So, to become an Avenger, are there, like, trials or an interview?
Do me a favor. Can't you just be a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man?
What did you think?
I think, once again, the problem is with a lot of these trailers is they're giving away the entire movie hit for hit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no surprises left in this, or at least there's going to be remarkably few.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was a wonderful breakdown on IO9 where they looked at the new trailer and broke it down. They basically, like, okay, guys, here's the movie, here's every Easter egg possible, and here's what to expect. And I'm still excited for Spider-Man Homecoming. I think the new poster is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'd love to get a copy of that at some point. But overall, though, it's a good trailer. It gets people excited for it. I wish it didn't give so much away, but I am happy that Spider-Man does have a few different suits. I really do like the look of the homemade version of his suit. There's actually a cosplayer in Toronto who's actually building this right now, and he's pretty much one of the best cosplay Spider-Mans I've ever met. His name is Callum, and I can't remember his last name, but if you're in the Toronto cosplay scene, you know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Him and his girlfriend do Spider-Gwen. He does every Spider-Man you can think of. And his homemade suit looks pretty cool so far. So,
awesome.
I'm looking forward to this movie. I hope it doesn't suck.
I don't think it's going to. But I think, and this is just based on the trailer, folks, because that's all we've really seen is a few of the trailers. We haven't actually seen the movie. Based on how the most recent newest trailer was put together, it seems like Tony's in the movie a lot. Now I could be wrong.
He'll be a definitely big secondary character.
Yeah, I'm going to say, I could be wrong, but it seems like that's why I made the joke earlier, maybe they should call this the Iron Spider movie, because it seems like he's in there a lot, both in and out of suit. And the best line from the trailer, can't you just be a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man? That's the best line from the trailer, hands down.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so we've got a special here for you folks. We're going to be cutting to TV's Mr. Neil here in a moment because he has got a reaction to the fact that the Disney Afternoon is coming back. Holy shit. At least in video game form, anyway. We'll be back After Neil's clip.
So, on April 18th, Capcom and Disney are releasing the Disney Afternoon Collection to pretty much every major platform that isn't Nintendo. The collection is featuring all of those awesome Capcom and Disney games from the NES era. And Tailspin. Look, you know I'm right. Tailspin wasn't a good game. So you get DuckTales 1 and 2, Rescue Rangers 1 and 2, and Darkwing Duck. Five classic platforming games made during the golden era of side-scrollers. And all of them taking cues directly from Mega Man. I mean, especially Darkwing Duck, which basically was a Mega Man game, right? The collection is similar in execution to Mega Man Legacy Collection, offering the original game experiences with modern enhancements. It's advertised to have a museum mode, a time attack mode, and a boss rush mode. You also get a rewind feature for modern gamers who think these games are maybe a little too hard. I think this is fantastic. A few of these games are actually really hard to come by, so this is the first time that many gamers will get to play these games legally. The engine for this collection is being done by Digital Eclipse, so you can expect good quality. They've been doing emulation software for years. I hope we can get some more of these collections too. Let's do more than just Capcom though. I've always wanted to see some collections of late era NES games, like maybe a Natsume collection or a Taito collection, so we can rescue a lot of these games from obscurity, like Shatterhand and Vice Project Doom. Better yet, let's get a Sega Genesis Disney game collection, so we can get the Gargoyles game, Quackshot, and Castle of Illusion. Hey, are you listening, Digital Eclipse? Do this! Anyway, Disney Afternoon Collection retails for $20 on Steam. You can also pick it up on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. Again, if you like the Mega Man Legacy Collection, you'll like 5 out of the 6 games on this collection. Let's hope more is coming. TV's Mr. Neil signing off.
We are back here on the Nerd News Network. TF2 and Mike the Birdman Dodd joining you this week as always. Well, almost as always, but anyway, you get the idea. And yeah, the Disney Afternoon is back, so they're re-releasing the Disney Afternoon games.
Very glad they're doing this, and I'm kind of glad they are releasing the original 8-bit versions, despite the fact that Way Forward did a version a couple years ago with DuckTales Remastered. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. Not so many people did, because they did change quite a few things.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking forward to having the original 8-bit versions. However, Pat Contry of Pat the NES Punk pointed this out. Doesn't it seem kind of weird that there's no version coming out for the Switch? There's Nintendo games on a non-Nintendo consoles.
Yeah.
And they kind of pulled this with Mega Man Legacy, but I guess they could port it to the 3DS easily enough.
Yeah.
If they really wanted to. But yeah, that just seems kind of weird, though.
I mean, for me, you know, I think this is really cool, because I don't remember what the year was off the top of my head. It had to have been somewhere between 91 and 93, but I remember I had the Nintendo Power magazine subscription, and I remember, I think it was, I can't believe I actually remember this, I believe, I could be wrong, but I think it was issue 36, where it was Darkwing on the cover when they announced that the new Darkwing Duck game was coming out, and it's his, you know, it's the standard image of him up against a brick wall, let's get dangerous, Darkwing Duck, and I absolutely flipped out as a kid, as an 11, 12, or 13-year-old, over the fact that a Darkwing Duck game was going to be happening.
Well, that it's the only decent one, because the one with the TurboGrafx-16 is garbage.
Yeah.
And it's built upon the Mega Man 5 engine, so it's built upon something really, really, really good as a base.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the games offered on the system, you get DuckTales 1 and 2, Chip and Dale 1 and 2, and Tailspin. Tailspin being the weakest of the games offered, because Capcom has, shall I say, a checkered history with shooters.
Yeah.
It's not a bad game, it's just not a great game. Chip and Dale 2 I've never played. Chip and Dale 1 I've played the crap out of. DuckTales 1 and 2 I've both played, both reviewed those at some point on Rad, if you go back to my archives. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wonder, this is just me spitballing, because I doubt it's not going to mean anything, just pure speculation. I wonder if this will decrease the prices of Chip and Dale and DuckTales 2 on the secondary market, because now the games are available digitally. You don't have to buy them just on a cart.
Yeah.
Because I know they were released very late in the NES life cycle, so they are very in demand and hard to find. I've only seen a DuckTales 2 cart once in my life.
Mm-hmm.
That was my friend Sean, I think, picked it up at a garage sale. Or no, I think he was at a swap meet. I think he paid $200 for that cart. So I kind of hope this will bring the price down. I doubt it, but you never know.
Yep. All right, what is your first story of the week, sir?
Okay, this one's a heartbreaker for me because I'm a huge fan of these guys, and I guess not so much anymore. The guys who make a lot of gaming peripherals, like we mentioned Logitech before, but this is Madcast. These guys have specialized in PC and console gaming. Well, they have formally ceased all operation. They are now in bankruptcy in Canada, which means all their stuff has been liquidated. Mm-hmm. And they're going to go to a different company to try and pay off all those debts. And in Canada, they've also filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy, which grants protection in order to facilitate the smooth liquidation of assets. And it really sucks, though, because last year, the company laid off like 40 or 50% of its workforce. Not too long ago, its CEO stepped down. And it sucks though, because these guys are known for making, in my opinion, some of the best fight sticks in the industry outside of Hori. Now, they are expensive as all shit, but I wonder if you'll see the prices of those on the secondary market now skyrocket. And it sucks because back in January, they just announced they're going to make new Tekken 7 arcade sticks. And I'm trying to think in my mind here, do I still have a Tekken 6 stick? I think so, but I'm not sure. I know I've got all my Street Fighter X Tekken sticks, but I can only see the prices for those things jumping, because even before that, their tournament editions were going between $200 and $250, but occasionally they'd have really good deals on them. Although last year, one of the big things they did is they started developing peripherals for Rock Band. And Rock Band 4 didn't exactly sell gangbusters.
Yeah,
which
no.
Which is really unfortunate, because the era of the music-based video game with titles like Rocksmith, which actually teaches you to play guitar, have been slowly falling off and are basically effectively dead, since Guitar Hero Live didn't set the world on fire either, and Rock Band 4 was kind of DOA. I mean, just before the company was delisted on the New York Stock Exchange, you could buy shares for as low as 4 cents.
Oh, my God.
So that sucks. Now,
that is horrible.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it totally blows. I mean, people who were working for the company as late as last week were locked out of their email and just sent home. So there was no sad farewell pizza party, which sometimes happens with developers getting laid off. No, this company went down, not necessarily in flames, but it was definitely the slow sinking of the Titanic, because these guys have been in trouble for several years, which really sucks, because I genuinely enjoyed, like I said, their fight sticks. I don't know what I'm going to do if my rock band guitar breaks now. Like, seriously, those things will now become a commodity.
Yeah, they will.
There'll probably be a whole new secondary market for people who can fix them.
Absolutely. And it is so crazy of how many of these, and not just video game companies, any company. You know, Mad Catz, I've known about Mad Catz for at least 10 or 12 years at this point. I mean, when I used to go into EB Games and GameStop and whatever else, any other controller besides an original system controller for any video game system, anything else any of those stores had, most of it was Mad Catz stuff.
Well, yeah, and because they used to be referred to, and I mean this with no disrespect, they were always considered the welfare controller because they were always affordable. Mm-hmm. And some of them weren't always super comfortable, but everybody could buy them because the prices were so good. In fact, one of their best products, and I wish I still had this controller. It's going to sound really weird, but I want think of an Xbox 360 controller,
And
where your hands rest, like to actually grip the controller.
Yeah.
It had fans built in there to keep your hands cool.
And yeah, that's cool.
One of the most innovative products I've ever had, and I miss that controller because it was so goddamn comfortable.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
And I wonder what's going to happen to companies like GameShark, who had an affiliation with them and stuff like that. So this is going to ripple. I actually kind of wonder what's going to happen to Harmonix, who developed Rock Band 4. It doesn't look like anything's going to happen in terms of them releasing DLC, but I guess they were just developing hardware for the game. But with Madcast no longer doing it, is someone else going to pick up developing guitars, or what's going to happen? So,
what other companies out there that... What are some other companies out there that do that? I mean,
there are a couple, but it was more common in the era of the 360 controller.
Mm-hmm.
And like the Xbox 360. Now there are adapters you can get which will allow your old instruments to work with the Xbox One and the PS4. Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Yeah.
And with Rock Band VR launching, I think last week or recently anyway,
mm-hmm.
this is going to be interesting times for a financial collapse. So
yeah.
I hope everyone who's at Mad Catz finds a good place to go. I've had a guy who used to work there for better part of a decade, was one of the best contacts I've ever had in this industry. He started his own company. I guess he saw the writing on the wall and GTFO'd. Mm.
Yeah.
But still, hopefully everyone will find something good, because it's a competitive industry out there, man, especially if PR and marketing when it comes to kind of video game stuff. So good luck, Mad Catz. You will be missed.
Yes, yes, you will. Now let's head to the comic book film world, because Batgirl's going to die, folks. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. Batgirl is going to die. Joss Whedon is going to kill Barbara Gordon. I hated this story when I first saw it. I'm sorry. I know everyone loves Joss Whedon. He's a TV god, blah, 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 blah. And I love Angel. You know, Angel is my favorite show that he's ever done. Buffy's all right, but Buffy in later seasons kind of got weird for me. But I, you know, whatever.
After
so,
season 5.
Well, for me, like, I'd say the middle of season 4, Buffy got a little strange. But anyway, Joss Whedon is rumored or confirmed or whatever is going to be directing the solo Batgirl film.
He won't kill Batgirl because they're going to want to build a franchise off of her.
Yeah, well, she's going to be the second female DC character that has a film, obviously besides Wonder Woman, which opens.
Isn't Harley Quinn getting her own?
Yeah, well, I'm saying.
Of the heroines.
The heroines, you know, she's the second. The Harley Quinn movie might be out, you know, after the Batgirl movie, because they still have to do Suicide Squad 2, blah blah blah, but. You know, I don't know how I feel about this, because honestly, when I first posted about this on Facebook, I said, really? Seriously? I am so over Whedon. Like, look, Joss Whedon is I don't know the guy personally. I'm sure he's a great person, and he does have interesting and great ideas. But the time of his era, unless he's going to update his style or change certain things and update with the times or not necessarily conform to certain things... I've known about his style for almost 20 years now. And
yeah, but you can't argue with success.
No, you can't argue with success, but it... And I don't know who else could do a Batgirl movie. He's just not a name that I... Like, look, he did great with Avengers, at least the first movie anyway. And that was fun and fine and whatever else. But
it depends on what they're going to tell him. Are they going to let him have his vision of Batgirl? Is it going to be accessible, or is it going to have to fit this grimdark bullshit that the DCU is kind of known for?
Yeah, and Variety also reports at the bottom of this story, the studio is also developing a Suicide Squad sequel and Gotham City Sirens, a spinoff to Suicide Squad with Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn. So Gotham City Sirens is going to be the Harley Quinn movie, I guess.
It'll be interesting to see how this all kind of kicks out. I'm going to reserve judgment till I at least start to see some more, either A, hints of the script, or B, till the first full trailer comes out. But even that can fool us, because remember, we all thought Suicide Squad looked cool.
Yeah, and it really didn't.
See, although I will openly admit, I like Suicide Squad, but I'm a terrible person.
I like the first 20 minutes of it when Batman and the Joker and Harley were there. The rest of it is just, ugh.
I don't know. I think I liked it because it was different.
The ending to that was...
The ending was garbage.
Yeah.
But with Batgirl, it depends, though, how much they're going to let him access the lore. Are they going to allow him to bring in other characters? Is she going to have a sidekick? Is Huntress going to show up? Is maybe one of the female Robins?
Yeah, I mean, I'm open to it. I'm not going to just sit here and dismiss it. I'm just saying this was my initial reaction. This does not mean I'm completely against this. I'm just very, very skeptical with hearing the name Joss Whedon and Batgirl in the same sentence.
Look at it this way. By having Whedon as opposed to, say, a Zack Snyder, you're getting...
Oh, I'm glad it's not Snyder.
Very upbeat work.
Yeah, I'm very happy.
Whedon's always very bright.
Yeah.
Whereas Zack's very grim, dark, gritty. Hell, he's the same guy who said Batman could get raped in a movie. You're not going to get a weird vibe off Batgirl unless he gets directive from above saying you have to make this, and at that point he'll walk.
And honestly, I hope, you know, this Batgirl standalone film, I hope it's an original story to the DC Cinematic Extended Universe or Expanded Universe or whatever the hell it's called now. But it's one of those things where the first thing I think of when I think of Joss Whedon and Batgirl is his own version of Killing Joke. That's the only thing I can... I know he wouldn't do it, but that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I really do think of when I first heard this. I'm like, oh, great.
Well, here's the ignorant comic book nerd inside of me. What are some of the great Batgirl stories and that's not Killing Joke? And Killing Joke isn't even all that great a story in some ways.
Honestly, any of Gail Simone's run, in my personal opinion, because that's where I started reading Batgirl full-time. Batgirl in the New 52 with Gail Simone's run, it was action and it was also psychological. As well.
Okay, so there are good Batgirl stories. I just don't know them.
Yeah. Yeah, there are very good Batgirl stories. All right, what do you got coming up next, dude?
Okay, so because Ghost in the Shell just opened into theaters this past weekend, and we're talking about transhumanism, well, the guy who runs SpaceX CEO Elon Musk has opened up a company called Neuralink, and it's a company that aims to merge humans with computers, and he wants to do this with a process known as neural lace, a technology that can be woven into the brain to help enhance its functionality as well as to facilitate direct communication with nearby devices. Mm-hmm. Elon Musk says, over time, I think we'll probably see a closer merger of biological intelligence and digital intelligence. It's mostly about the bandwidth, the speed of the connection between your brain and the digital version of yourself, particularly output. Now, it's not exactly super clear on what this neural lace technology means, but as I mentioned before, it's transhumanism, the process of enhancing human capabilities through science and tech, basically essentially becoming a cyborg. And you know what? With all the technology and advancements we have with medical stuff right now, I am so completely open to this idea. It's astounding. And the fact that we already have people, there's biohackers right now who live in all different cities all over the world, implant themselves with technology that can do little things. I know one guy has his bank card and some other stuff implanted in his hand. Mm-hmm. So whenever he goes to the store, if he wants to buy something, he just has to wave his hand over the like ATM and it works. Stuff like that. So having a guy with a serious bank account and who isn't friggin' crazy, well, I guess think what you will about Elon Musk, having a guy like this lead the technological charge into the future, I'm totally okay with this. Although, I know someone like, say, Stephen Hawking seems to think that AI will be the destruction of mankind. I kind of wonder what the bridge will be when we reach that singularity moment between technology becoming self-aware and us becoming a part of technology. Will it be more Ghost in the Shell defining where does the person begin and the technology end? Or will it be like RoboCop where it's kind of answering or asking the same kind of question, what's program, what's person?
Or will it be like Terminator and Skynet will kill us all?
Exactly. Will it simply just decide we're not worth keeping around?
So we're not worthy. We're not worthy.
Like, I'm very excited to see where this could go. I mean, one of the practical applications of this is not just cybernetic limbs for, you know, limb replacement, but imagine having your eyes as tiny cameras. Imagine being able to record everything you see. And that obviously leads to not just privacy concerns, but being able to record. No one would ever be able to say, oh, you're full of shit. You didn't see that. Wanna bet? I got the video.
It's so funny we're talking about this right now, because I know you haven't read a lot of it, but in the More Than Meets the Eye ongoing from IDW, which is now turned into Lost Light. But anyway, in the original, in the 2011 series that IDW put out, remember Rewind Blaster's little black cassette tape? Well, he is now a memory stick. And that's his alt mode. But in his robot form, he has a camera, like, right on his temple. I swear to God, as soon as you started talking about cameras recording everything and rights, and I'm like, hey, we could all become Rewind.
See, one of the things that, now, this is of particular interest to me as someone involved in the news industry, being able to record as a reporter, being able to record everything.
Yep.
And I know particularly right now, people are saying, oh, it's fake news. If you can record it and prove it, it's not just ideology versus fact anymore. Now you have video evidence. Yep. So it's how then it'll be up to interpretation. So, but yeah, that's my story. I think that's tremendously interesting.
Yes, it is very much so.
Elon Musk is the right guy to lead us forward. So hopefully he'll do something cool with it.
Absolutely. Now, what would you say if I told you IDW was going to be coming out with a George Takei graphic novel next year?
I'd say you have my attention.
George Takei graphic novel coming from IDW. Graphic novel to tell the true story of the Japanese-American internment camps through the lens of the Star Trek actor/activist. This was a press release IDW sent to me at the end of March, March 31st. Pop culture icon and man of the people, George Takei, has signed a book publishing deal with IDW Publishing. Together, they will produce a graphic novel developed under Takei's guidance, re-examining the Japanese-American internment camps during World War II through his family's first-hand experience. Perhaps, obviously, best known beloved role of Hikaru Sulu in the original Star Trek television and movie series, Takei was only 5 years old when President Roosevelt signed the Executive Order 9066 shortly after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, authorizing the internment of Japanese Americans. As a result, 120,000 innocent citizens, including Takei and his family, were rounded up without any charges or due process. They were guilty of nothing but looking like the people who bombed Pearl Harbor. This graphic novel will explore these events through the eyes of young George and how this shaped him to become the humanitarian he is today, a proud American and a vocal activist against intolerance in all its forms, lending his influential voice to the voiceless. And it goes on to say more, and it says that it's coming in 2018, but it doesn't actually give... it just says 2018. It does not say a specific date, but I cannot wait for this.
I think that'll be good.
I really want to read this, and if I can't get the actual book, I hope IDW, I don't think IDW will do this, but I hope they put out an audiobook of this, because I would love to sit here, do nothing, then listen to George Takei tell this story. That would be awesome.
I think that's a really, really good idea, actually, for them to at least take a look at, or at least produce an enhanced version of it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What else we got? Let's see. IDW is at WonderCon this weekend, and they announced that for the first time in 20 years that Usagi Yojimbo and the Turtles are going to come back together.
Not surprising at all, especially considering how popular Usagi Yojimbo is after, like... 25 years plus.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Stan Saki finally, I don't know the man personally, but, you know, he's the creator of Usagi and all that and everything else. And I've interviewed the editor of the Turtles comics at IW, Bobby Kernow, two or three times. And we've asked him each time, when is the rabbit going to come? He says, whenever we can strike a deal with Stan. And now they've struck a deal with Stan. This is going to be a one-shot issue. It's going to be really, really fun to see Usagi again in the current Turtles climate.
Yeah. And I'm glad it's current as opposed to the reboot that's happening next year.
Yeah. Oh. All right, so it's discussion time. Have you seen the new Mega Man teaser?
Yeah, you know what? I'm not completely against it.
I'm not against it, but I'm not for it either.
I'd like to know. I want to know what direction the story is going to go. I guess it's going to follow probably closer to NT Warrior than it is anything. That's at least the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah.
Now, if only someone could take the Proto Men storyline and, you know, do that up as an animated movie or something, but that'll never happen. I guess we have the Light Up the Night music video for that. But no, this cartoon, I don't know, it might be okay. It might be okay. I don't know if they've announced any voice cast for it yet.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. So yeah. I'm hoping it's only based on the first three games.
My skepticism comes in when they use terms like Meganize Me and it's Mega time, because it makes me think of Captain N Mega Man, you know.
Yeah, if it goes that route, it'll be a little goofy, but hey, you never know.
I mean, the animation in the trailer looks great, but it's just some of the things that are said in the trailer that leave me very skeptical. And then I saw the end where they reveal the title and they have the classic 8-bit Mega Man going across the top of the screen. I'm like, if it's more like that, I'll be fine. I'll be great. That'll be awesome.
5 minutes before you go. When is it supposed to come out?
I don't have that information in front of me. I think so, yeah. But I'm not sure exactly when. But, you know, I mean, Mega Man has always been a staple for everybody, so,
it's just there hasn't been a really good cartoon adaptation, although NT Warrior was surprisingly fun. I would love to see an adaptation of Mega Man X, but seriously. Like, there was the animated movie from the PSP game, which came out, like, a million years ago, and it was really well done. And I guess there was the animated cutscenes from Mega Man 8. I'd like to see a series do it like that. Like, give me the real classic Mega Man. But hey, I'll take what I can get, so.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. This does not list... the only appearances it lists is the ones we've already talked about. The 94 series. Oh, no, wait, the 26... 2017, really? When is this supposed to launch? Let's see. Upcoming American, Japanese, Canadian 2D animated television series based on Capcom's video game series. Same name. June. When is it? It does not give a date here, so I'm not exactly sure. But it says 2017 series, so it's sometime this year.
Probably later on in the year.
Yeah. Yeah, probably, most likely. What else has been going on with you?
I'm about to say, not a whole hell of a lot. I hopefully will have my review of Mass Effect Andromeda. I'm over 80 hours into it as of right now. So if everything works out right, I'll be done by Tuesday. You guys will hear that right here on This Week in Geek and GeekCast Radio, which kind of ties me to what I'm going to talk about next. So I mentioned off the top of the show, we're giving away a Magitech armor would be cool. A Mass Effect Andromeda Logitech Spectrum keyboard. Like I said, this thing is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. It lights up. You can pre-program it. It's mechanical, so it's got that nice action to it. It's a tough bugger, too. And you're going to wonder, well, Mike, how do I enter this wonderful contest? Well, we want you to just email us. That simple. So feedback at thisweekingeek.net, subject line Mass Effect. Tell me your favorite Mass Effect game in 140 characters or less. Give me basically a single tweet. A single tweet, so 140 words or less. What's your favorite Mass Effect game or your favorite Mass Effect character? I'll pick a winner at random, and Logitech will ship you the keyboard themselves, presumably even overnight. Don't hold me to that, but you'll have it within like a week. And you will have this like $200, $300 keyboard delivered right to your door. So the contest will run for probably, I'll say, 3 weeks. So from today's April, you're hearing this on April 3rd, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
April
24th, we will announce a winner.
Yep. So Mike and Ryan will do that. And as soon as I hear back from the winner, we'll confirm your address. And we'll remind you again on Altered Geek as well. And I'll remind you on Rad tomorrow. And hopefully you'll win this wonderful Mass Effect Andromeda keyboard so you can experience the Helios cluster with Scott or Sarah Ryder, and hopefully find humanity a new home amongst the stars.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for this week on Nerd News. Where can the people interact with you online, sir?
Okay, you can always find me on Twitter at BirdmanDodd, Facebook.com/BirdmanDodd. Same with Instagram, I'm always there as well. So be sure to say hi to me. Also find me at Dice Warriors on Twitter. Hopefully coming back to Terrible Warriors this month, if not sooner. We'll have to wait and see, just because I'm waiting on some stuff. But that's where you can find me.
Absolutely. I am at TFGOnMike on Twitter. You can follow at This Week in Geek on Twitter. You can find them on us on Facebook as well as Geekcast Radio. Classic Dodd line for this week is what, Mike?
Of course it is. I forgot for a second. Anyway,
how the hell do you forget your own damn line? It's like, seriously, I had to remind Snowball in 10 years of Twig. What's my line? Lower your shields. Oh, yeah, I remember now. It's like, seriously, how do you guys forget your lines?
I'm tired. Anyway, live free or die hard.
Live free or die hate? What the hell is that?
Calling that to bed. Anyway, guys, we'll see you next week.
Only on the Nerd News Network.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good,
though. It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit? Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Remember, kids, buy pizza, pay with steak.
What's your social media business card? My fist.
Just give me a big box of beef.
Don't give them ideas.
Don't forget our other Twig project, GeorgeLucasHasLostHisMind.com.
Does Jesus have Matrix powers?
I think the Pillsbury Doughboy's albino.
I'd like to see a cat on Tourette's.
That's the moment I give up on life. Because then I don't know what to believe in anymore. When the Amish start twittering, I'm done.
Can we leave this subject alone?
Hello.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh no.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm confused. As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear Kyle Hebert say...
Today, the world. Tomorrow, the universe. Next week, my chiropractor. Oy, my back.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well as subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment about this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can also call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Or email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by PerpetualEmotionMachine.ca. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.